You remain standing. I'll read for you a text, scripture from Romans 8:37. Glory to God. One verse. No. In all things, don't kid yourself. It's not some things. It's not part things. It's all things. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. All things. Not in just godly things. Not in just, it's all things. Hallelujah. I want to preach this morning more than conquerors. More. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? How can you be more than a conqueror? Lord, open up our minds today and our hearts that we may receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. Glory to God. Let none of us get at ease in Zion and come up and come short of the rest that you've encouraged us to reach forth for. Lord, be with us today. Enhance somebody's life. Let them realize that there is better than what they have today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are saddened by the loss of Sister Liz LeBlanc's mother. Some of you may not even know that because it happened between our services, and she was buried yesterday. A card says to our church family, thank you so much for the beautiful plant, and it was a very beautiful plant. It was so kind. Most of all, thank you for the outpouring of love and all the prayers that just covered us during this time of our loss. That's lifting people up. We are truly blessed to be part of a church where you feel the love. I like that. You feel the love of family. Again, thank you. This comes from Brother Charlie, Sister Liz LeBlanc, Heather, Jody, and the rest of their family. Amen. And it's never easy to lose people you love and people you have lived with, and on top of that, their neighbor. So pray for them. Continue to lift them up. Amen. How can we be more than a conqueror? This morning, I want to get you, you know, it's like they say sometimes, give me your attention, right? And then sometimes they really want your attention and say, give me your undivided attention. And that's what I'm asking you for this morning. Quit fishing while you're here. Quit baking cakes while you're here. Quit preparing dinner while you're here. You can't do it while you're here. So let's give the Lord, for the next 45 minutes or hour and 45 minutes, our undivided. Because anytime you divide something, somebody's getting less of it, right? And we don't want to give God all of our attention. So this morning, we need to get a grip of this concept and the spirit of more than. And when a man seeks more than food and raiment, he becomes a carnal man. As soon as you begin to seek more than food and raiment, for the Bible says, having therefore food and raiment, therewith be content. So what happens is your flesh begins to cry out, I want more. And it's not wrong for us to want more, better things. But if we don't seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, more better won't be any good for you. It will destroy you. Getting things that are more outside of the fundamental things that God promises, and if it did not come from God, it will destroy you. It must come from God. If it comes from God, you will appreciate it, cherish it, and God will give you more and more and more. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand the more than theory, if you will, or spirit behind more than. Because Jacob, when you read the life of Jacob, he was Jacob as a carnal man. He was Israel as the spirit man or the prince of God, right? So you see a carnal man inside of one man, and inside of every one of you, there is a Jacob and an Israel. There is a war between what's the line of being carnal and being spiritual. Is it wrong for me to ask God for this house? Is it wrong for me to ask God for this car? At what point is it just consuming the request upon your own lust, as James said, and you ask amiss, and so you don't get it? You have not because you ask not, and when you do ask, it's on your own lust, and you don't get what you ask for. And you're going, God, where are you? Okay? And so we need to understand that when we have this spirit of more than, I want more than, you have to be sure you're not it's not the Jacob crying out who wants more than what he's got. He wanted the birthright. He wanted more than what he was born into. Give me more than. And it's nothing wrong as long as you get it legitimately. Give me the birthright. So he swindles his brother out or talks him into buying, trading him, bartering with him a bowl of beans, if you will, for the birthright. What kind of comparison is that? But when you're weak, let me tell you, sin will take advantage of you. As I said, weakness is looking for wickedness. Wickedness is looking for weakness. And so it is that he wanted more than. And it wasn't enough. He had a blessing coming to him, Brother Petrie. He was born of the household of Isaac. He had a blessing coming to him, but he wanted more than one blessing. He wanted the double blessing. So he sought to get more than in a very evil way. But everything he got more than, he realized it didn't accomplish anything. Now that he got more than, he had to run for his life. Because he didn't get it in the proper way. It wasn't God that gave it to him. He got it on his own accord. And we have to be careful when we want more, because more than is the spirit of envy. You become envious of what others have, and you want more than so you can equal them. And that becomes a downfall. More than. More than. And so this went on through Jacob's life. The Bible says he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And that more than got him in trouble. And then he has a son named Joseph. And the Bible says, and Jacob loved Joseph. Not Israel. Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his sons put together. Wow. Sometimes this more than can get you in trouble. But I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you will direct the more than, I want more of God. Hallelujah. I want more peace. I want more joy. I want more understanding. I want more wisdom. God says if a man asks for wisdom, I said, I'll give it to him liberally and abradeth not. Ever how much you want, I got it. Hallelujah. Whatever I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I got more than you can think of. Just think of it. If it's godly, I give it to you and some more. As we used to say, there's plenty more where that came from. Hallelujah. And if we would understand that heaven, the Bible says, rejoices at the repentance of one sinner more than the 99 that need no repentance. Heaven rejoices more over one sinner that repents than 99 that's sitting inside the corral. Amen. We need to understand that God wants to give you more. The reason these didn't cry out, they had everything they needed. But the one that was lost needed to repent. And when repentance comes, you walk into the more than spirit that God can give you. God gave David more than he deserved. And even though he had beautiful wives and he had concubines and he had all this, he wanted more. More than he had. That's the problem with people that are wealthy. They want more. It was one of them billionaires. I don't know who they are. It ain't Warren Buffett. He's still alive. It was Rockefeller, I think. Rockefeller. They asked him, they said, what would you like to have? One thing you could have before you die, what would it be? He said, another dollar. See, that's the problem with carnal more than. It's never enough. Sin never satisfies. More than. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. And David had everything he could possibly want. But when he saw the woman, oh, I got to have that. I got all this, but I need that. And when he got that, it was his downfall. And it was his great sin. A man got murdered to get that. His more than becomes somebody else's less than. Because he was robbing from somebody else. My God. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and says, David, and he told him the parable. I won't rehearse it with you, the parable of the sheep. And he said, David, God has been good to you, and he's given you this and this and this and this. And if that wasn't enough, he said, you just asked for it, and he'd have given you such and such. He'd have given you more than you had, but you got it the wrong way, and for that child will die. You will repent and die a different way, but the child will die. And the Bible says the sword never left his house. Why? That spirit of more than got a hold of him. I want her. I can't live without her. I need her. And look what happened to David. Oh, my God. I still have your undivided attention this morning. Okay. More than. We need to let this creep into our spiritual life because we do have a God with more. Whatever you got, that's nothing compared to what he has. He has riches in glory. Hallelujah. So Paul writes in this text to the Romans, he said that in all things, somebody help me, all things, say it with me, all things, in all things we are more than conquerors. See, we're satisfied, Brother Manuel, being a conqueror. We're satisfied to be a defeater. We're satisfied to just be an overcomer. But he said, in all things, we are more than. How in the world can you be more than a conqueror? But I'm here to tell you there is a higher level of achievement than just being a conqueror. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We go to a higher level than just defeating the enemy. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to search out this morning. And that's why I want your undivided attention, because I want you to understand that just beating the enemy today will not do the job. No. Because if you just beat the enemy today, you'll have to fight them again. More than lets us know that conquering alone is not enough. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Just conquering is not enough. We have got to go beyond just defeating the enemy. Are you ready for me to tell you what he wants us to do? Destroy the enemy. Defeating is only temporary. Destroying is permanent. Whew. My God, we are more than conquerors. Defeating is good. Conquering evil is wonderful. Overcoming is necessary. But until you destroy sin, it's still coming back. It's still coming back. And some people fight the same devil day after day and week after week and year after year in the same temptation because it never was destroyed in their mind. It was only defeated. But we are made more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man, did you know you had an old man? Yeah. Your old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be defeated. Help me, somebody. That's not what it says. But that it might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Yeah, let me tell you, if it's just defeated, honey, the battle ain't over. They defeated the Philistines, and then they had to fight them again. And they fight them again. For he that is dead, the next verse says, is freed from sin. If it is destroyed, I am free of it. It can't come back to me because I have destroyed it. And defeating sin is good, but destroying sin is more better. It's more than a conqueror. Amen. You can defeat lust for a little while, but it'll come back. You can defeat addictions for a little while, but it'll come back. And you can defeat alcoholism a little while, but it'll come back. And you can defeat all the works of the flesh just for a little while. But sooner or later, Paul said, "Sin, I died and sin revived." It comes back to life. But if you destroy it, my brothers and sisters, then you have more than conquered it. You have destroyed it. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. The body of sin should be destroyed, that we no longer have to serve sin, that sin no longer reigns in your mortal bodies. Why? It's not there. I destroyed that. I don't know about you, but I want to be more than just a conqueror. I don't want to keep fighting the same thing. Over and over and over. I refuse to do that. I refuse to keep fighting the same thing over and over. Let me tell you something. Anytime you have to fight the old thing over and over, it is a testimony of your weakness. It is a testimony of your lack of growth. It is a testimony of your immaturity when you have to keep fighting the same thing over and over and over. Let me tell you something. If I trip over a rock today and I get up tomorrow and I trip over that same rock and I get up the third day and I trip over that same rock, it is a testimony and a witness against my maturity. I ought to have enough sense to get out there and pick that rock up and throw it away. Hallelujah. Let's do it. Amen. Let's do it. Hallelujah. If I'm going to trip over a rock tomorrow, let it be a new rock. Hallelujah. Let it be in a new path. Let it be a bigger rock, a different shape, a different color. Let me say, I didn't see that. But you know what? When I know it's there and I trip over it again tomorrow, there's something wrong with me. Woo! Glory to God. Give me a new devil to fight. I'm tired of fighting the same old devil day after day. I want to destroy that situation so I can move higher in him. Don't let what you fight every day be a testimony against your God and his power to heal you, to save you, and to deliver you out of all things. Worrying about it lets me know it's still alive. As long as you worry about it, it's still alive. But let me tell you, if something is destroyed and dead, you don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. No. Torment. Tormented by the same thing. Here you are, 50, and tormented. Same thing you fought at 40. Same thing you thought at 30, 20, into your teens. It's the same thing. And you keep fighting the same thing, and you'll fight it till the day you die. And if you're not careful, it's a mark against you. You go to the family reunion and to meet all your kinfolks, and there's Grandma. She said, son, your mama fought the same thing. When is it going to stop? Who's going to bow up to the devil and say, I had enough of this. I don't want my kids to fight the same thing my mama fight and the same thing my grandmama fight. It stops with me. I'm going to destroy this thing once and for all, because if it's destroyed, it can't come back to life. Hallelujah. End it once and for all. Every devil must be destroyed in your life for you to be victorious. Ooh, and every devil you don't destroy will destroy your children. Every devil you don't destroy will destroy your children. You just pass it on down to them. Somebody needs to end it now. Somebody needs to announce a benediction over it and have a funeral, if you will, over sin, lest your children get what you've got and you keep it alive and you keep it going and they become what you don't want them to be. I'm telling you, I'm sick of living bad news. Sometimes it don't matter. Some people, you ask them how you're doing, it's always bad. There's some people, I just don't want to ask you how you're doing, because it's always bad. It's a sign that God's not able. Don't you a Christian? Lord, if he can do exceedingly abundantly, if there is a bomb in Gilead, if there is a physician there, why then the hurt of my people? Well, I'm preaching tough this morning. Stop it by destroying it. Stop it. You can stop depression. You can stop all these things. You can stop worry. You can stop it by destroying it. I'm going to teach you how to destroy it. The only way to be more than a conqueror is destroy it, and conquer it through him that loved us. I am made more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I am made more than a conqueror, more than just a defeater, through him that loved us, because he destroyed death and hell. Amen. He went to the grave and destroyed that body of sin. He came out with the keys to death and hell. He said, some people worry, Paul said, some people worry about dying all the time. As soon as they realize that they're going to die, they all their life they're worried about dying. And fear, torment has torment. Fear has torment. And he said, I've already taken care of that. So what are you worried about? I destroyed it. So what are you worried about? And anytime you destroy something, you don't have to worry about it. But you have an enemy out there, all the way from the back pew all the way to the pulpit. We have an enemy. Amen. And he goes about seeking whom he may devour. For a thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What he wants to do is destroy you. You hear me? He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy hope. He wants to destroy peace. He wants to destroy relationship. He wants to destroy your salvation. He is a destroyer. But the Bible says that a strong man's house, his goods are at peace until one that is stronger than he arrives. And when the strong man that's stronger than he arrives, he binds that strong man. Whew, hallelujah. He ties him up so he can't do anything. And he spoils all of his goods. He destroys all of his goods. Hallelujah. Aren't we this morning serving one stronger than the strong man? Aren't we serving one mightier than the mighty? Hallelujah. Aren't we serving the King of kings and the Lord of lords? I'm serving the strongest power there is out there today. And so I am made more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And I'm telling you, there's nothing you'll fight for more than what you love. I don't expect you to fight for my kids like I'll fight for my kids. And you don't expect me to fight for your kids like I fight for my kids. Because you'll fight for what you love. And God, Christ, is fighting for you today because he loves us. And you don't have to keep putting up with this and keep fighting the same thing day after day after day, when through his love, we are made more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got to destroy it. Defeating the enemy is just, it's good, but it's not good enough. I like to shout about the victory. I do, but you know what? I like it when it's destroyed. I like it when the enemy is destroyed. And too many people shout over an idea of defeating the enemy. And they shout about the idea and never do it. Red Sea opens. The Lord told them, this enemy that you see today, you will see no more. I'm not going to defeat them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them. Opened up the Red Sea. The first one that had to go across was them. It was them. You've got to pass over to the other side. And then when they got across, all they could do was wait on the Lord. The Bible says, you've done all to stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If running would have got it done, they could run, but running wasn't going to be the answer. All they could do was stand still. And when they saw that water that was congealed, they saw the wheels coming off the chariots. They said, something's going on out there. And the riders started falling off their horses and the chariots were being turned upside down. Oh, God's doing a work out there. Ooh, don't shout yet. Don't shout. Wait a minute. Don't shout yet. It ain't over yet. But when they saw the water come over the chariots and the horses were drowning and their riders were drowning, then they got out the tambourines and they said, our enemies have been destroyed. Hallelujah. Not defeated. They have been destroyed. Destroyed. And I'm ready to shout now. I'm ready to proclaim the victory now. You know why? I won't be embarrassed because I'll never see that again. Too many times people shout over just defeating the enemy and then their shout dwindles away because it showed up again. Oh, thank God he did this. And it shows up again. And oh, thank God he did it. And it shows up again. But when it is destroyed, my brothers and sisters, it's not coming back. It's not coming back. The problem with just defeating something is there's a greater fear than there was before you fought it. I'm flesh and blood too, you know. People go around my gate at my lease. There's a few things cross my mind. That four-wheeler, because I've seen them cops, how they roll that thing out to give you flats, you know, that the thing. Where do they get those at? Anybody know? Because I'd like to just take me some tacks and some boards, and see, I've kind of thought this through, and I take some boards and I put the nails up and I put some straw over it where they keep going around, and I put me a camera there so I can watch them get flats and rejoice. And I'll go, hey, look, y'all got a... But this is what happens. They're going to do that to me now. Now I'm going to be worried. I better go in the other gate. Lord, I'm scared now. They may shoot me when I unlock the lock. Because they'll know who did it. So you see, defeating doesn't work. Destroying does. So I turn it over to him. And I say, Lord, have your way with people that do me wrong. Vengeance is not mine. Now, sometimes I think about it. But then I have to repent and say, Lord, that's not right. I give this to you so I don't harbor anything in my heart and run scared myself. Are you with me this morning? All right. All right. We're going deeper. When something is destroyed, it casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. This ought to cast out that fear. That means he destroyed the enemy. He destroyed death. He destroyed everything you suffer from. He's already destroyed it. God hated the Amalekites above all the nations that there was, more than the Moabites and the Amorites and all the. He hated those Amalekites because they fought you unfairly. They fought you unfairly. God was like my dream. If you're going to fight me fair. Right? Y'all know my dream. Fight me like a man. Fight me fair. But the Amalekites would wait for your weakness, and then they would attack you. And God never liked anybody to lie in wait. You read the Leviticus. He never liked for anybody to not fight fair. But those Amalekites waited until Moses and Israel had crossed the Red Sea and had nothing to drink at Rephidim, and there they showed up to fight them, knowing that was in their weakest moment. Rather than fighting them when they were strong, they wanted to fight them when they were weak. Isn't that what sin does? Isn't that what sin does? Sin waits till you have a weak moment. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he seeks dry places. He goes to the wilderness looking for people that are distressed and people that are stressed out. And somebody says, I'm stressed out. Lord, you need to get over that. You need to get over that. We are made overcomers. You know what happens when you're an undercomer? It's a burden. When you put it on you, it's a burden. When you get on it, you're an overcomer. And so these Amalekites, God hated them, and Moses fought them. You remember he held up, Joshua held up, you remember? He fought them, but he did not destroy them. And so there come a day, the Lord said, the cup is full. I'm tired of these Amalekites. They don't fight fair. They don't fight like the rest of the world. I want Saul to kill them. I'm going to give that king an anointing that will break the yoke. It will destroy the yoke. I want to get utterly destroy these Amalekites so that I don't never have to face them again. And that's what you need to do, my brothers and sisters. You have Amalekites in your life that you need to get rid of and destroy it so you don't ever have to face them again. So when Saul became king, Samuel told him that the Lord hath anointed thee. Now go down and utterly destroy the Amalekites. 1 Samuel 15:1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember, Lord, that which the Amalekites did to Israel, how they laid wait for them in the way when they came up from Egypt. I remember they took advantage of them, and I'm sick of them. I want to get rid of them. I want them destroyed. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly. Somebody say that with me. Utterly. You want to be delivered? It's going to take utterly. Utterly destroy all that they have. All that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and sucklings and ox and sheep, camel and ass. I want you to slay everything, lest they regroup and fight again another day. God gave Saul the anointing to break the yoke. Ooh, my. He gave him the anointing to be more than just a conqueror. More than just another battle with the Amalekites. More than just another encounter, if you will, where we can say, oh, thank God we beat them again, because you're going to fight it again. Am I helping anybody this morning? God did not give you his spirit, my brothers and sisters, to keep fighting the same old battle. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost so you just go speak in tongues. Sing in tongues and dance. That's not what he gave. He gave you the Holy Ghost to break the yoke of bondage. He gave you the Holy Ghost that you might utterly destroy what sin does to a man and woman's life. But as long as you just want to fight it a little bit, you'll fight it all your life. But when you commit, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, I'm telling you, once you make that decision to do it with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, it's easy. And the world just passes you by. God gave you, through his spirit, the power to overcome. But if you keep fighting this thing with your own power and with your own might and your own will, you'll just keep fighting it. And you know what? It will wear you out. You have to learn how to turn it over to him that loved you. My God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and darkness, high places, and spiritual wickedness in high places. What you're facing is not something you can muscle up and conquer. It is something that takes the Spirit of God, him that loves you. He'll fight for you because he loves you. My. The last enemy that's going to be destroyed, the Bible says, is death. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He was flesh and blood too, tempted in every way. That through death, he might destroy him that had, everyone say had. He had the power of death. That is the devil. He did what? He destroyed that. So if you're fearful of death, you need to check yourself. That's carnal. This life here is not where I'm just passing through. It's the life over there I'm after, and death is nothing more than a door to get over there. My. Amen. Anytime something is dead, it's destroyed, right? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We're not children of the bondswoman. We are children of the free. And anytime something is dead, my brothers and sisters, if a relationship is dead, it's over. Well, I'm just going to call them. No, it's over. I just think, no, it's over. Now, if it's not over, go get you some more of that until you get sick of it. But when it's over, my friend, it is over. Moses kills a man in Egypt while living in Egypt. Word gets out. He flees, and he goes to the mountain, to the wilderness. He's herding sheep for his father-in-law, and a voice comes out of the bush. You know, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, Lord, I can't go over there because he knows who I am. He knows I'm the one that killed that Egyptian. They'll kill me. And he said, he's dead. He's dead. Oh, he is? Yeah, he's dead. I've done raised up another Pharaoh. You read your Bible? That's what happened. So when he found out Pharaoh was dead, he said, what you want me to say? Yeah, I go do it now. Because he was freed from that. Because it was destroyed. And you're never going to be freed from sin, freed from lust, freed from those temptations, freed from depression, freed from whatever it is that's bothering you until it's destroyed. Oh, my God. Let me say it this way. As long as you want to keep her old phone numbers, there's going to be a temptation to call her. It's not dead. You've proven it's not dead by keeping some of that stuff under your mattress. It's not dead. But when it's dead, you're through with it. You can see them or whatever, and it don't even bother you. I'm through with it. And God is waiting for you to utterly destroy the works of the flesh so he can utterly, if you will, give you the gifts of the Spirit. But he's not, God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My God, let me move on before I bore y'all today. 1 Samuel 15:3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Destroy them. Get rid of them. The only way, listen close, the only way that sin can take shape. Now, there's obviously we're tempted on many things. But if there's one particular thing that you're tempted by, if you destroy it, the only way that you can be tempted by it again is for you to rebuild what you once destroyed. Galatians 2:17 says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, okay, we're going to be justified by Christ. Through Christ I can do all things. We preach all these things. We ourselves also are found sinners. Wait a minute. I got Christ and I'm a sinner? Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I once repented of, let me put it that way. If I build again the things I once told God, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, I'll never do that. If I rebuild again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You can't say the devil made me do it. First time, you might have got away with it. But the second time, once you've destroyed it, it's you. Oh, God, help us today that when we utterly destroy it, to stay away from it. Because you'll build it again. You'll slowly build it again. People that were once alcoholics, a man come to my office not long ago. And he said, first thing I want to tell you, Mr. Baggett, he said, is that I am an alcoholic. I said, okay. I said, when's the last time you had a drink? He said, 32 years ago. But I'm still an alcoholic. He said, there's one thing I learned, Mr. Baggett, from AA. You got to change people, places, and things. And because I did that, I ain't never had another drop in 32 years. But if I go back, I will rebuild what I once destroyed. God, help us this morning not to rebuild the things that God has delivered us out of, lest we make ourselves sinners and transgressors of God's law. Amen. God gave Saul the anointing that he might utterly destroy the sin, the Amalekites, and get rid of them till there was no more trace of them. Saul came back from the battle whistling a tune and saying, "Whoo, I've defeated them. You know, I've defeated them." And he said, "Lord, I have obeyed your commandment." He told Samuel, said, "I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord." And he goes, "What's that I hear? Why do I hear the lowing of these sheep? Why do I hear these oxen? Why do I?" You didn't follow the commandment of the Lord. You just defeated them. God wants you to be more than a conqueror, more than a defeater. He wants you to be more than an overcomer. He wants you to destroy it. "What's that I hear?" "Well, I just couldn't bear to kill the good stuff." Watch. "But Saul and the people spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatling, and of the lamb, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile, everything he didn't want, and everything refuse, that they destroyed utterly." See, that's your problem right there. That's your problem. We only destroy what we don't want. I say, "Look, God, look, you didn't want to be friends with them anyway. You were glad to get rid of them anyway. But can you destroy that relationship that's dragging your soul to hell? And you don't want to. Can you get rid of what's destroying you? You've got to destroy it before it destroys you. And because he didn't destroy it, it destroyed him." Verse 18, "And the Lord sent thee." Samuel's upset, shouting over that little defeat you got. "We're going to fight them again." And they did. "We're going to have to fight them again. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.'" Let me tell you, you're not ever going to have peace or victory until you utterly destroy the things you're attracted to. I'm going to get this tape myself. Lord have mercy. 32. "Then said Samuel," Let me show you, Saul. "Bring ye hither to me Agag, king of the Amalekites." And Agag came to him delicately. And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past. This is over with. I mean, can't we compromise about this, talk about this? You've defeated us. I give that up. You've defeated us. You've proved your point. You've defeated us." And Samuel said, "As the sword hath made women childless," we've lost our own kids to this, "so shall thy mother be childless among women." And Samuel struck him on the cheek. Daniel slapped him like I did in my dream. No. He hewed Agag in what? Pieces. He utterly destroyed him like he commanded Saul to do. And he did it in the sight of the people. Pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. As they come this morning, I'm afraid that maybe some of you have not taken this seriously. That's why I want your undivided attention. I'm wanting to deliver you. I'm wanting to help you get out of this. I want you to recover from all the issues that you're facing. But unless you're willing to destroy some of the things you're attracted to, that's good. I got some good friends over here in the world. But if they're leading you wrong, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Some people don't know how to say goodbye. Samuel, the high priest took a sword and slew the king. Because wherever there's a king, there will be a kingdom. And if I get rid of the king, then maybe I'll destroy the kingdom. I hate to say it this way, but somebody's king is a queen. And until you destroy what's ruling over you, you will never rule over it. My God. Your Amalekites must be destroyed. Because if you don't destroy them, you'll fight them again and again. Many times people choose not to live wholeheartedly for Christ because they don't want to give up some things they think are good. Well, I disagree with you on that. Now, I'll give up this, this, and this because, see, I know the harm in that, but I disagree. Isn't a shepherd supposed to protect the sheep? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? And say, brother, I know you don't see the harm in this, but I'm just telling you, I know in my spirit that's not good for you. Now it's your choice. Your choice. God is calling us today to a level of more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. When we read here, many times we think coming to Christ will destroy my life. I can't tell you how many people say, well, I don't want to live for God because I can't do this, I can't do that, and you know, I'd still enjoy this. They think that coming to Christ will destroy their life. But let's read what Jesus said. Let's read it in Luke 9 and 56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Hallelujah. And they went to another village. They just went about their way. God did not come to bring you sorrow, to bring you unhappiness, to make it a drudgery to live for Him, so that you'll say, well, I just can't take the ridicule that the world. He's not, that's not what, when you live for God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, you don't care what they think. They're not going to save you when your ship is sinking. You'll need to cry out, Lord, help me. And there He is. Why? Because I was willing to walk out on the water and let them make fun of me for sinking. Crazy old Peter walking out there on the water. No, the rest of them did it. Who'd he give the keys to the kingdom to? The crazy guy. Because he was bold enough to try. Bold enough to not worry about what other people would think or say. And until you get that way and you destroy, hallelujah, destroy. When you destroy something, you quit worrying about it. You know, the Bible says that when Ishmael was, when Isaac was going to be weaned and circumcised, they had a feast and a party. And guess who was there? Ishmael, the son of the bondswoman, the world. And the world began to make fun of the free woman's son. Let me tell you, the miracle and the mistake can't live in the same house. Someone's got to go. And when she saw that Hagar's son was making fun of her child of promise, she looked at the old man. You know, y'all didn't catch that. She looked at the old man who wanted to save Hagar. See, inside of you is an old man. She looked at the old man who wanted to save that boy. So, oh, yeah, you know, he is. She said, let me tell you something. That the son of the free shall not share heir with the son of the bondswoman. Kick her out and her son too. Destroy this relationship. But as long as you want to keep her phone number, Abraham, go ahead. But it's never destroyed until you destroy it yourself. God puts it in your hands. He said, Abraham, listen to her. I'll take care of that situation. And he became a great nation. Troubled nation, but a great nation. I want to tell you this morning as you rise, I hope I kept your attention this morning because God is calling you from being just satisfied to fight the devil and win today and have a good, oh, I had a good day today. Oh, yeah. And the next week, I had another good day today. I understand that when you get old. You know, life happens and joints and things give out. I understand that. But Lord have mercy. Some people are fighting demons. That lady had the spirit of infirmity that could in no ways, no wise raise herself up. It was a spirit of infirmity. It wasn't an infirmity. It was a spirit of infirmity. And he cast the spirit out. She raised up. You're not fighting something with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual thing. As they sing this morning, old song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Come home. As you make your way this morning, tenderly.